Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Last Week on Keith and the Girl. I am your host, Karen, and we're going to get to the stars of the show. But before we get to the stars of the show, I kind of want to talk about my week because, you know, we hadn't been doing anything, but it's actually been an eventful week this week. First, I want to start off with the apartment flooded.
Oh.
By accident. We were actually doing a live
show. I hope it was by accident. Otherwise, a lot of things happened this week.
Yes, a lot of things. It was by accident. We were actually recording a show, and we record a sports show. Mm-hmm. And so we record like a pregame where we just talk about nonsense. And then we record the sports show, which we don't really talk about sports, but we call it a sports show. So it's kind of sports adjacent. And so between that time, we play like a 3-minute skit that Roderick made up so we can take a break and, you know, use the bathroom and things like that. So I was sitting in the room and we had the co-host that was on screen. And you know how you hear something, but it doesn't sound right. So it kind of perks your attention. So I was sitting in the room and I heard something crash and break. And I was like, it don't sound good. Okay. So I got up and I went to the bathroom because Roger came, went to the bathroom real quick. I went to the bathroom and it turns out that the handle on the toilet was having problems turning. So we was having problems flushing the toilet. But for some reason, it broke and it turned all the way around. And when it turned all the way around, it caused the lid to come up. So Roger was like, well, what's happening here? He picked the lid up. And when he picked the lid up, it pushed it and it fell. And when it fell, you know, the pipe that's connected to the wall that you turn the water, the water.
The what emergency happened, water valve, right?
Yeah, it's, yeah. It's close to the ground.
Right.
So when the lid fell, it fell and it fell directly on it and it separated it from the wall.
What the fuck?
And when it separated, it was hilarious though, because when it separated it from the wall, the water poured out like a cartoon character. It was like, it was just the water was just shooting.
This is a Three Stooges toilet.
Right. Yes. This is so crazy. If they wrote this in a script, they'd be like, okay, it fell exactly perfect to fuck you up the most.
It did. And what was so hilarious is that if you would have seen me and Roger, you'd have heard like cartoon music playing around us both because everybody's moving around. Because he was like, can you turn it off? No, I don't know how to turn it off. And then we're taking the thing and kind of trying to stick it back into the wall.
But
in the process, it wouldn't reconnect. And so everybody was like, how do you turn the water off? I don't know. You know how to turn the water off? I don't know how to turn the water off. So then,
They're sticking it in the wall. Picture Mr. Furley in the next room, you know?
Oh, my God.
So somebody's saying, poof, poof, poof. Right. I was trying to stick it in the wall while water's pouring out. And so you're looking on the floor. And as you look, like each second, the water gets higher and higher. Because, you know, because it's like it's pouring out. So I went to go get some towels and put them on the ground. And Roger was like, call the apartment complex. So I called the apartment complex. And I guess I was talking to her and Roger was like, just give me the phone. I was like, cool. You take it because you better. Cause I was almost in a panic mode. Mm. So he was more kind of calm, if that makes sense. And so he talked to her. And so he was getting, I don't say frustrated, but he was telling her, he was like, no, you don't understand. The water's coming out right now, and I don't know how to turn it off. You know, and she's going through her thing where you got to ask all these questions.
Because he's also calm, too. And I have this problem, too. Henda has to point it out, where I'm like, yeah, we have a problem here. The water is pouring in, and it's going up by the inch. Well, what is it? Like, yeah, I really got to start screaming now, because it doesn't sound like it's a big deal, but we're at 3 inches now.
And that's how it was. And she was just asking questions and we're going to get the maintenance people over there and things like that. And the thing is, because we don't like them in the house, and nothing personal, we just don't like outside people in the house because of COVID. So you can tell that the person was on call because he just ran and he was like, had his like sandals on. He was like, what's wrong? And so he came in. He was really quick because he came in and he had this machine that actually just sucked the water up. Mm. So he sucked the water up. But by the time he had came, we had figured out how to turn the water off. We did not know, I did not know, that it's a whole water pump back where the washer and dryer is. It's kind of above it. And so he turned the water heater and it just turned the water off. I don't know if it turned it off to the whole building or what. So apparently, somebody might not have had water. We, we just did not want the water to flood in here.
And wow. So, isn't that like the second flooding within a year or something in your apartment?
It probably is. Yes, probably is. But this time it was by total, complete, just randomness.
What if you guys make your skits 4 minutes and then you take your time? Flush nice.
Oh, my goodness.
It was not my fault, y'all. You know, the woman was not to blame, you know, because the woman always gets the blame. The woman was not to blame for this one. And so one thing I can say is that I really appreciate the apartment people here because, you know, you pay rent and I understand people with mortgages and things like that. But guess what? I don't know shit about walls. I don't know shit about pipes. I don't know nothing about flooding or anything like that. So he actually had to cut a hole in the wall behind the toilet because what had happened was that the hose had severed. And so what was happening was that the hose was going up and down the wall spewing water. And it,
oh my God.
Oh, that's why when we stuck it back in, there was nothing to stick there because the hose was just shooting up and down on the, you know.
Oh my God. You know, every time you want to own real estate, this story should pop up. Like, you know, it's just like, why are we paying rent to people and all this stuff? And then it's, someone has to replace the wall and whatever the fuck you just said, and it's not me. And it's like, it feels, you know, like you should be aiming to own a home, and I know that it has a lot of value. And then this thing happens, and you're like, okay, not me.
Yeah, I didn't used to be somebody that, you know, counts gratitude necessarily, but I was always a person that when something big happened in my apartment that broke, I'm like, okay. Like, I saw the positive easily. I'm like, that is not my responsibility. You have to fix the mold. Ha ha, I'm dead.
Because this is your building, you know, because it's like they're gonna fix their property. And I don't know if they give them a discount or whatever, but most of the maintenance people actually stay in the complex. So most of them are kind of, you know, around the facility, you know, because they probably keep them on call, you know. So whoever's on call got here really, really quick.
That's a good sign, though. If people who maintain the building live in the complex, that means like they're fixing their own shit and it's going to trickle into a nice thing for you. That's cool.
Yes, so I had no complaints.
Wow.
It's one of those things where people talk about buying a home, and I understand buying a home and purchasing a home and the homeowner's dream, and if that's what you want to do, fine, but me and Roger talked about it, and I don't think we want to own a home. If we own something, it's going to be where you pay what you call this home association fees, where you still have maintenance people come fix shit.
A co-op?
Yes, or something like that. I don't ever want to be to a place where I have to get the cost up, because I was thinking if we had a home, we would have had to find a plumber. They'd have charged you extra for coming out immediately. You know,
I gotta say, I was in exactly the same head, but I, for the first time again in my life, I started thinking about owning a home because Xerxes can fix everything. It's bananas. So now I'm like, okay, I feel a little more comfortable with this. Because there's someone who is just so inclined with all this shit, you know?
Right. That's willing to learn how to do it and wanting to learn how to do it. But see, you have to know yourself. I'm not going to lie. I don't give a fuck about nobody's grass. I don't care about nobody's flowers. I'm not painting nothing. I don't do outside. But I know me. I'm not cutting no holes in nothing. Like, I know me. So it's like, why put yourself in a situation where you're not going to know what to do? It's either time or money. You either got one or the other. Now, my father-in-law, he can literally do it all. My mother-in-law, you know, the sinks at the beauticians, the big sinks with the deep hole. He actually put one of those in the wall from scratch by himself. He figured out how to do it. He can take apart washers and dryers and computers. Like, I have no, you give him something old, he will figure out how to fix it. See, I'm not built like that.
Yeah, I brought up a boiler the other day. This is like, yeah, but that's how old boilers are. The new boilers, here's how they work. They have this coil and they go inside and it actually heats the water as it goes. And I'm like, why do you know that? Why ever do you know that? And he just knows this stuff. And if he doesn't know it, he'll know it as soon as you give him like 10 minutes. It's amazing. And I just have trouble keeping up with the explanation. I'm just like, sounds like you know what you're doing. Okay.
Yeah, I put together my stepson's desk and it's a simple desk. You know, two sides making up the four legs. and then little brackets in the back for to make it sturdy. To me, that was putting together a car from sand.
And did you feel way too proud? Did you feel a little pressure as like the eldest dude?
I'll tell you what I didn't like. I was staying over. I slept in. I get up and the son's already putting the desk together, like on his own. And I'm like, then he's having troubles, but I'm like, good. Cause what are you doing? Then
you were being emasculated.
Right. Then I realized he put the wrong side on the wrong side. So we had to start all over. And then it's like, yes, a man has to be in charge, little boy.
Oh, boy, that is from your childhood.
But I did yell when I saw the things were put together wrong, so we had to start over, and I thought I did it. I went, shit! Like, okay, we're good. So I just have to switch everything back.
Yes!
And then, you know, Kyle's like, okay, next time, Benny, you know, read the directions, maybe. And I'm like, no, it's fine, whatever. But, like, to me, I was still impressed, like, I had directions and I'm overwhelmed. You know, he just started picking shit up and guessing.
Right. Yeah.
All right. We can't have the safety brackets because things are wrong. Who cares? You're 13. You did pretty good.
You did better than most adults. Do you know if you can put together an IKEA set by yourself and do it right the first time, you deserve a motherfucking gold ass star because it's a lot of shit we put together. That shit is backwards. I was like, I refuse to take this to loose. It's just going to be backwards, pressed up against the wall. No, thank you.
They got a new bed. The son left, staying with his dad in Florida, 18 though. So this is like, it's like a trick. You'll stay with your dad like, hey, should I come back? No, come back. No, you're going to be on your own. This was a trick. So anyway, they're getting rid of the bunk bed they used to have and getting a new bed for Benny. And so there's Kyle. I got a TaskRabbit and Benny's like, well, I can't Keith just do it. And it's like, let's not confuse you. That was a fucking desk. with that, there were no sliding keyboards. It was a desk.
Right.
Now, you don't want to trust me. Your bed.
That's why I pay rooms to go to extra $150. Mm-hmm. To have to break it down and set it up. I don't even change the tires on my car. People ask me why. I say I don't trust myself. I will be going down the road and the lug nuts, whatever you call them things that keep your car together. I mean, your wheels on your car will fall off while I'm going 70 miles an hour. I don't trust me. So I'm good with that one. One more thing. Well, I guess two more things.
I'm allowed to. Yeah.
We got our COVID shots. We had told y'all earlier we got our COVID shots.
Is two more things, right? Isn't it?
Yes. Congratulations.
Yes. I am happy to get my microchip because everybody jokes about a microchip. So I said, well, I got my microchip and I'll be getting the next one in a few weeks. It was harder than getting a pair of Jordans. Like it was really hard. And, you know, I know they talk about how people don't want it. It's like, well, you know, there's a lot of people that actually do want it and actually can't get it, you know, because when we went, we had appointments. But in addition to appointments, they allowed people to pull up if they had extras because they actually ran out of the extra vaccines because a car put up in front of us and she was asking them, did they have an appointment? They said no. And they was like, well, we ran out of the extra vaccines we had. So
by the time she was done talking, the extra one's spoiled.
Who knows? You know? And you know what, y'all? I didn't know they was clicks. You know, everybody was like, what click you on? You Johnson & Johnson.
Sure.
You're Verizon, Moderna. I was like, I don't know what click. I just know they shot me and it hurt. And then the thing is not in a bad way, but it's like, it's almost like you could feel it. And then your arm hurt a little bit and they make you wait 15 minutes. It was drive through. So we didn't go into a building.
Did they give you a donut?
No.
What the fuck?
I know. It doesn't that suck. It's drive through. So at least we wasn't kind of trapped in a building and kind of interacting with people, I did like about that.
You got a sticker though, right?
No, we got a card. The cards.
Okay, but no sticker. Also, just a brag.
I wish I would have got a sticker.
They still brag. They were on social media with their card. Okay. Don't worry about it. That's how I found out.
That is like your freedom card. Right. You're like, I'm almost free. One more shot.
Was there something like? Did you have to say you have a pre-existing condition, or it was just if you show up at this place, you're good?
Some people just showed up, but like I said, we actually had an appointment. I think here in North Carolina, they're at phase 1-4, 1-A, whatever the phase is.
So anybody could have made an appointment.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Anybody could have made an appointment. And so what you can do is follow. What I've realized, if you actually want a COVID vaccine shot, follow your news people in your local area, because we have news people here in Charlotte that actually post, these people are giving shots. These people are giving shots. These, like, they actually will post it online to let you know when they're giving it, where they're giving it, and they'll give you the link and they'll tell you to go make your appointments and all that stuff. Because we had initially got an appointment. It was in June. I was like, that's too far out. So I wanted something closer. And then he got this one for Saturday. So I was very happy to get that shot. And the last thing I want to say is we ordered some Mexican food. Was it Friday night? We was like, yes, let's go get some Mexican food. We haven't ate inside of a restaurant. So we went in to the place, and I've realized that people really don't think COVID is real, because it was like people everywhere. They were all in each other's faces. Nobody was social distancing. And I looked at Roger and I was like, I'm not sure about this. Yeah. You know, because it almost sends like a panic over you, because I'm like, y'all act like it's not here. Like I was like, then it makes me think I'm crazy.
Did you stay?
We actually just went up, got off, because we had already pre-ordered. If we hadn't paid for our food, we wouldn't even went in. You know, because we didn't know, because it was like, and what's hilarious is that there was a bouncer at the door with a mask. What the fucking point is your job if I'm going to go in and take my mask off? Right. Like, your job is pointless. So you...
I've had that where I'm out and we're only outside and I'm like, there are too many people outside right here. And you'll hear me go, there are too many people. And I just start walking away because I just start panicking. And there's also, by the way, so now we're getting the vaccine. I think people are going to start being able to go out and stuff. And I realized I am traumatized. It has been a year in here. And yesterday I was going on a bike ride by myself. Xerxes was on the phone and I'm like, I don't know. It feels weird to go out by myself. I have been next to this person for a year. I, like, a little bit of panic started coming in. Like, well, what if something happens to my bike and I'm like 3 miles away, or I get a flat, I fall down. Like, all this stuff started coming in and I started feeling like half a person. I'm like, this has to be looked at least. So I was like, now I'm for sure going on this bike ride because I can't stay in that head. I have to get out of it. That's a crazy thing to feel.
I get the idea of you being in no hurry to get the vaccine, because what's the point? You're not going to go out. But if you get the vaccine, as much as we know, you get the vaccine, then, and I have the vaccine, then we could hang out.
Yeah,
you're not,
I don't know, but they're also talking about you have to still stay distance and stay with a mask. They're also talking about there are these other variants that are coming up that the vaccine is not going to protect me from. And maybe I don't know all the info, and so maybe I'm not getting it right, but I still won't feel comfortable. And I know I have to get over this psychological thing of I can't get near people. I'm scared. I turn my head automatically now. I cross the street. I watch movies and I'm like, why are you guys so close? It's in there. It's been over a year now.
I understand that. And it's actually very valid, because I tell people, me and Roderick went to the extreme. You know, a lot of people didn't move all the way to the extreme, you know?
Yes. So the thing is, though, it's very valid and I understand myself, but knowing that, I have to make effort to go the other way with that, because I can't, you know, because when it's time, I'm going to need to acclimate to that too. But it's like Keith said, as soon as you get used to it, it starts lifting and something else happens. So just kind of like the transition from one ability to do things to another ability to do things is sometimes the difficult thing.
Yes, yes. And I completely agree with that, because as of right now, I think that I'm in a lot better headspace than I was a year ago. So I think I'm able to adapt a little bit better. But yeah, if I see too many people together, I'm like, no, you know, because even if you, because they're still doing tests to see that if, like Keith said, if I'm fully vaccinated and you're fully vaccinated, we should be able to get together and be around each other. Now, with or without mask, I don't know, but they was like, but everybody's fully vaccinated, you know, and they're trying to find out if people that are vaccinated can actually pass it to somebody that's unvaxxed. Like, they're actually doing studies to kind of see that. So that's why they're telling everybody to wear masks, because they don't know. So they was like, let's be cautious, because we don't want to tell everybody that. And then you have all these people out here doing this crazy shit. And then you be like, my bad, guys. My bad. We didn't know.
Yeah.
The latest was vaccinated people can be in the same room without masks on indoors with other vaccinated people. I say jump on that. Well, that's the fact right now.
Before they change their minds, people.
It's like the Bible. I said, on you know, like the Pope can make rules on earth, and now the rules in heaven. You know, let's jump on it now. It's a fact.
Yes, yes. Now, since I've talked all about me, let's actually talk about the stars of the show. Kiefer Hemda, how was your week this week?
It was good. It was solid.
Hemda is solid. Hemda learned she has trauma. I don't have the vaccine yet. It's fucking good. It's solid.
Well, there were silent trailers, new guests, familiar guests. I think it was a fun week. I think I like the shows, but let's review them and see if I'm right. See if my memory serves well.
Yes, let's do it. KATG episode 3384, The Bristol Scale. We talked about steak and blowjob day. And it sounds like him to almost blew blowjob day. How was
it? That wasn't possible.
I think it went well. It's just the first day of my period. I still participated in all events, but I think he deserves a little bit more. So we have it rescheduled for this Saturday.
Aww.
They left when they paused. They took a marker and drew it on his dick where she has to continue.
Stop here.
Yeah.
You know how you do in the height. You were this tall at this
point. Yeah.
To be continued.
Right.
Yes.
And you can tell it's smudged, and he drew a different line closer to the head. It's like, hey, wait a second.
No cheating. Yeah. That's something that we've never celebrated. We've heard about it, but I don't know why. We just never celebrated.
Well, I guess
on that day, if that makes sense.
It was the poll, and I noticed the poll on Reddit. There was only one yes for participating in Steak and Blowjob Day. And let me tell you something. That was me.
That was you. And you apparently don't do the polls on the forums, because it was 100% no, nobody celebrates it.
Oh, I missed it this week. So, yeah, it's just me.
Every vote counts. Every vote counts. Why you vote, people?
Guys, we got to make it a thing. Why are we not making this a thing?
Because it sounded like work. Because it made you cry.
What? No, it was totally fun. Why is Christmas and Thanksgiving a thing and this is not a thing? This is fun. It's like New Year's, but like an excuse in March. It's just another hot, like, look, January. Well, for us, we have Xerxes' birthday. We got New Year's. February is Valentine's Day. March is Taking Blowjobs Day. That's why we started dating in April. We needed another mark.
Are there things like about, you know, Thanksgiving, you get the turkey ahead of time, make sure it can thaw. Christmas, of course, don't get your gifts last minute. Steak and Blowjob Day, start with a hearty breakfast. You want a full stomach? Like, are there... Maybe there's things people don't know, and it's overwhelming.
I think I was the only one with a hearty breakfast that day.
See? Well, that's what I'm saying. Hello.
Right? I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Well, listen, celebrate good times. What did What's-His-Face say in the song?
What is it, a Dominican breakfast, or?
I don't know.
All right, I don't know. I'm not sure.
All right. I guess we'll never know.
It was for me.
We talked about George Floyd's family got $27 million. And mentioned how a lot for that thing compared to, you know, other murders by police. And then not a lot compared to anything. Like O.J. Simpson, $70 million.
Yeah. You know what I realized? And this is how I've always felt about it. People that... are complaining about their taxes going up, and they complain about, you know, wasting money and things like that. The taxpayers ought to be outraged whenever they pay. And I understand, because you're not going to get justice through the justice system. So sometimes the only way you can get justice is to turn around and pay people. A lot of police systems set up where It's in the budget. We know we're going to kill people. We budget this money to the side to pay people. And in some states, they actually put caps on the amount of money that they're allowed to pay people because they kill so many people that they go the maximum we are allowed to give is $100,000, $200,000, whatever it is. And so to me, this is what people need to be outraged about, but they're not outraged about, because if they were outraged about the tax money, the system would change so that people wouldn't die so that they wouldn't have to pay money.
Right.
Yeah, right. Maybe that's the way my mind functions, but because in my mind, racism is so illogical and irrational, this makes sense. It's like, this is just the cost of allowing the system to run rampant.
Right. You're right. I think you're right. Yeah. It's
that's a lot of money.
Yeah. Making sure that you point a finger at the right person.
Yeah. Right. And hold the right people accountable. Also in this episode, we talked about The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. The thing about it, I've never really watched the show. I've heard about the show. And the thing about the show for me is that it pokes fun at love. Like not trying to be for like it's like we love each other. Okay. I put these people in front of each other, these hot people in front of each other. We have sex with each other. We don't really take this seriously. We're scheming and conniving against each other for the love of this one person. And then a lot of times, sometimes it works out, a lot of times it doesn't. But yet, you're going to tell me if I'm LGBTQ, I can't get married. You tell me that I should have something other than a marriage, but that you have this show and you poke fun at love and marriage. Maybe this is the way
we've definitely said that before on the show. Like, you have made love and marriage a game show. You have made love and marriage a Vegas Elvis wedding when we're drunk and we just met. You are not checking the credentials of every hetero couple that says they're in love. You're just letting them do it in whatever nonsensical way. But me, I have to prove, I can't prove anything. That's it. You just can't do it.
They probably once had the lie detector segment idea, and then right away they're like, well, this isn't going to work.
This isn't going to be good at all, because the thing is, the host had an easy job. You literally hand out roses.
Yeah.
And at the end of the show, you literally do a recap. You bring everybody together, and you talk about what happened, you know, during the course of the season. And it's like, how do you blow that? You know what? Saying nothing is absolutely free. That is a true motto. Because a lot of times speaking on certain situations ends up costing you a lot more money.
And did he care that much saying this, I don't know, do I throw in the word accidental, but this racist shit? Do you even care that much? I don't know. Why did he cared so much and didn't know it'd be bad to say, like, no, I really have an opinion. Like, just sit the fuck down for 2 seconds. Can you imagine? Like, Chris Harrison is one of these white guys that'd be like, I'll tell you if these Asian murders in Florida are Asian-based or sex-based. I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of that goes back to the privilege, because truth be told, in this country, white people's opinions are always valid, no matter what it is. They feel like they have the right to speak on anything, even if they don't know shit about it. I got an opinion about it. And, you know, he felt like he had an opinion. But the audience turned, and he didn't realize the audience was going to turn against him. And sometimes I think they're shocked by that turn, because the thing is, what the Bachelorette did, it didn't happen 1952. This happened recently. Like, it's one of these things where enough time has passed and you should be educated enough to know. But at the same time, people purposely don't educate themselves just so they can claim ignorance.
Right.
And so that's kind of where the frustration comes in, because when it comes to other marginalized people, we're not allowed to claim ignorance. We can't just say, I don't know, and everything. Everybody goes, you're supposed to know.
Right.
Yeah. And that's where my frustration sets in. But your job is easy. Now they're taking two people. So you know what? Now we're going
to
have
to replace this host. Yeah.
Right. And then
I would feel satisfied if you had to replace me with two people in order to get my panache
and two different races.
Because they're trying to show. Oh my god!
Of course,
dorks.
I can hold the flower with my left hand. He knows it with his right. I can twist my wrist like this when I hand it. Yeah, everybody wants to be spectacular and handing out a rose.
They hand a rose through their thighs or something. Like, I wonder what they do different. I don't know.
Yes, we have to be unique. That they're doing tricks and shit. Ta-da!
Right.
Find out.
What goes up? We talked about this episode also, Woody Allen and Mia Farrow. I finished all four parts. And, like, I see people having an opinion defending Woody Allen, and I could tell by the way they're talking that they didn't see this documentary where everything's just all at once in your face. And it's like, oh, you're saying, Karen, you're going out of your way not to educate yourself. This is not a boring documentary. This is put together nice. You're deliberately not seeing it so that you can stick with an idiot kid was coached.
Yes, and like I said, I didn't see the whole thing. Roger was playing it. I was seeing it in the background. And they were showing things that when this happened, I was young. So there were a lot of things that came out that I wasn't really aware of or really didn't understand. But when you look at it as an adult, you go, oh, this dude was fucked up. And he did some fucked up shit. And he jumped ahead of the story. And he tried to act like she was crazy. And he would get information and go to the press first. And you go, oh, he was a complete piece of shit. But the thing is, if you're quote unquote entertaining, people will let these things slide. But it's like the behavior was horrid. And
there's no way you heard those recorded phone calls between the two of them. They both ended up recording, by the way. And because his tapes, I heard this from the podcast that they have. When you hear that he was taping, she goes, "Are you taping?" He goes, "No." And then he goes, and then he takes another call. He's like, "Yeah, hold on, Bob. Yeah, I'm taping. I'll be right back." That's because that was in a deposition, so the other side got the tapes, gets a copy of those tapes. That's why we were able to hear that. When you hear that conversation, it's like, well, I'll say my point in court. No, I'm asking you, Woody, where were you when my daughter was missing? Just tell me now. It'll come out. Just tell me. Where were you? Obviously, I'm hoping to still be in denial. Just tell me where you both were.
God, every time you guys talk about this, I'm like, maybe I should see this. And I'm like, maybe I am seeing this. I feel like little by little, I'm getting the entire story. But I know it's going to be very powerful watching it, like you said, all at once. It's like right there in a box for you. But I don't want to watch these things.
The person lying is always complicated. The person not lying is simple. And she's like, just tell me where you were. You could just say that. Where was it?
Fine, I'll watch it. But I'm not done with How to Get Away with Murder.
Oh, sure. I mean, they're both up there with sure.
I feel like through this show, I understand why people are into their, quote, stories. Because I'm like, this is nonsense. To the highest degree, but I need to know what happens to Annalise. And I'm like thinking about it throughout my day because I watch it in the background all day. So, and there's so many names. I'm like, who is that? Oh, they'll figure it. Well, they'll tell me. I feel like they know that we're all half watching and there's too many names. And they're like, they'll fill me in a second. They'll show me on purpose. And oh my God, it's so long and it's so crazy. And I love everybody and I can't stop watching. I keep saying today's the last day. This is my last episode. I'm done with it. And then I go again.
You're too far in it. And
yeah.
One more thing about Woody Allen. The thing about Woody Allen is that people like him are so bold. Not that it ever died, because people have always been angry. This motherfucker wrote a book and thought he was going to come out and do a tour. And nobody was, and that's how all this stuff kind of rehashed back up again.
They think they're so clever. They think they're so fun. Just shut up. What are you doing? What's your book? For what? For what? You remember in those phone calls? I don't know if you saw this. He goes, why are you doing an interview with the, whatever it was, with the New Yorker? She goes, because they said they were interviewing you. He goes, no, they're not. Next day, New Yorker, he's on the cover, his full interview. Shitting on her. Yeah.
He tried to paint her as a lunatic and a crazy woman. Yeah. And I don't think she was crazy. And I think that baby was telling the truth.
Of course.
Because, you know, being that young, you have no reason to lie.
The podcast even has more, another interview section with, interview is a big word, but Mia and the daughter talking. And like, why did he touch me like that? I wish, you know, The first husband was my father. Do you think he was ever touched like that? Did he have to live like that? It's the same. You don't really find out anything new, but it's fucking heartbreaking.
I might have to go listen to that podcast.
It's good.
Just to kind of educate myself, because like I said, a lot of this happened when I was younger. So you know how stuff happened in the background, but you're not really paying attention, but it's at the forefront of everything. Yeah. But you don't get like the details of it. It just kind of educates you when you go, oh, okay, I get a better understanding. And now I'm like, I understand why people get outraged and upset when they go, why are you having a role in a Woody Allen movie today? Like, today doesn't make any sense, right? Because it's not like nobody knows these things. These things are out in the open. It's public. But a lot of times I think, well, he's paying okay, but all money ain't good money, though.
Right. And you could do artsy shit. He's not the only artsy game in town. If anything, it's tainted. You're like, no, it's Woody Allen. There's other artsy shit. I don't know him, but I promise. But Craig knows him. I promise they're out there. There's non-creepy, fucking boring artist people. I promise.
Yes.
You know what I mean? No superheroes, you know.
I'm with you on that one. My phrase of this particular episode was Hemda. She said, Grammy is the music one, and I just died out laughing.
Right. She was dead on.
Like she was right.
Thank you. I am the champion. I also won our personal poker game last Friday night.
That's right.
And stole all the money. Ole, 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 ole.
She beat me out, and I call it stealing. Yes, she's right.
And the last thing for this particular episode, Keith, your dad is still cunning. He's running. Sound like he run a scheme at the nursing home. What's up with your daddy?
That's my guess, that he would have been excited to work at the nursing home to sell insurance to people that are obviously dying, and he'd be like, "You can't lie to me. You're on the fucking list. You're dying. So buy a full term policy." then, but whatever happened, he couldn't take it after a couple days of moving there, with my mom in an old age home. And then he came back home, and now he's back home. And then we found out through a different way, not him. Yeah, the whole thing's fucking weird. He told us she's in hospice. I check on it. She's not. Like, what is? I know you're going insane too, but there'll never be an honest moment out of your fucking mouth ever.
I can't believe he went as far as saying hospice.
Yeah.
Right.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, because I've had family members in hospice before, and these are things that you can confirm. Like, I don't know why he thought he was going to say that. Right. Everything. I don't know if he thought people were just going to run up there to aid. Like the thing is, your lives can be checked.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you're right, Karen. And I think maybe even Keith has said this, but like, yeah, he expected you guys to come home, so to speak, and then he'll go, well, it could have been an emergency, but aren't you glad you're coming to see your mom? Right. I guess this is what I have to say to get you guys out here.
Yeah, everything was deliberate. Everything's always deliberate and deep.
Yes, because at the end of the day, it's to make it all about him. It's sad. It's not even about your mom. It's like, we're going to make this about me.
Yeah, here's the letter of the day. I saw mom today. Do you want to know more? Like, what? What?
Oh, my God. What are you? Were you like a series finale? Right. The fuck? What is this, like a commercial hang? Like, I'm going to skip your commercial. Just tell me the thing.
Mom fell. Hope you guys are good. Love, Dad.
This open ended.
Yeah. Well, just ask if you want to know more.
He wants a conversation. Yeah. And when you don't bite, that's almost like the worst thing you can do, because then it's like, oh, you don't care.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not the fact that I don't care. I don't want to have to go through the bullshit to get the answer, Dad.
Well, there's a funny thing me and Ken bring up, my brother, and my dad sent him a letter like, anyway, this is advice I'm giving you. I had the toughest taskmaster in town, so I know a few things. You know who that? Want to know who that is? And Ken's like, shut up. You know, doesn't write back. So some time goes by, and then my dad writes, well, since you didn't ask, the answer was life. The hardest task massacre was life, and I learned it again. Like, he couldn't. He's like, motherfucker, just ask me who the fucking toughest task massacre. It's life. It's fucking brilliant. It's life.
You're not going to allow me to talk. I'm going to give you the answer.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny, because he's like, come on, I have a clever answer.
So clever. My teacher was life, because I'm older.
And also because no one spoke to me. I didn't have a teacher, a student,
right.
Nothing.
Didn't, right.
Like you guys, maybe it took you so long to get back to me because you know I literally know no other person.
Right.
So, ha, got you. It's life. It is no other person because I don't know how to make friends or keep family.
Right, apparently. What was the poll, Keith?
The poll was about who celebrates Steak and Blowjob Day. Of course, nobody does.
I need to change this. This is my new platform. Fuck OMAT. This is happening.
Yeah, my dad's a fucking character. Then we got into episode 3385, Get a Grip, with Melody, Kamali, and Ashley.
How about you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't know.
No.
Fuck.
Get a grip, really. Just relax yourself over there. Karen, you were saying?
You sure? I was like, you can go ahead, Keith.
No, he just, you know, he's always in that position, so I think he's on autopilot. He needs to relax.
No, I'm sorry, Keith. I didn't cross the road quick enough.
That's okay, but it's my fault, ruining your creative names, and that's what I apologize for.
I don't think you ruined anything. Karen, please.
Well, like this. I'm going to let Keith have it. You got this one, Keith.
No. I even gave you a hint. No. It's episode 3385, Get a Grip. Who are the stars of this one, Karen?
Melody Kamala.
Okay.
And Ashley Gavin.
Very good.
Okay.
I got them right. Yay! This show was fun because I actually felt like I was in an LGBTQ hour. I just saw rainbows and glitter and everybody dancing and spinning. It was so much fun. They were very delightful. The chemistry was just great. Everybody was kind of bouncing off of each other and kind of feeding off of each other's energy. And I was here for it. We talked about Cardi B and
Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah. Bumping Coochies.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I have a question. Does that make me gay?
Because you have a question?
No. Does that make
you gay? you got a question over there, Queer? Oh, I see.
You enjoyed that. I think you have to participate a little more.
Okay.
To be queer. I don't know. But also, you know, you could just be queer in your head. Also, sex is sex, so people could talk about their genitalia and that could be turned on. I've been turned on by gay men. Getting it on. It's just, if something's hot, it's hot.
I've been turned on by two deer fucking, but I'm not into that.
Okay. That took me a second to process. I'm like, wait, what were we talking about? Okay.
I don't walk away. I stare. I don't know.
This is happening. Yeah. Also, we talked about boob moments.
Yes.
Is grabbing your own boob a boob moment? I guess I want to, I'm just asking. You know, if somebody else grabbed your boob, that's the boob moment. But if you grab your own boob, is that a boob? If that's the kind of your internal, your own personal boob moment?
I think you can have your own personal boob moment. Yeah. And you always know what time it is for your boob. So if you're touching your boob, it is boob time. Yeah.
It would be great if Karen's trying to catch herself off guard. What's over there? Bonk! Gotcha, me.
That one. Yes, other direction. We talk about foot fetishes. Mm-hmm. I did not know that feet could make somebody come. I was sitting here going, oh my gosh, am I supposed to be hearing this? Do I need to cover my ears? What is happening?
Oh yeah, foot fetish is a big thing.
Yes, but it's one of those things where, and I guess because I don't go down that hole, that rabbit hole in porn. So I was like, oh my gosh. And then they talk about jockstrap parties.
What did we talk about?
Y'all talk about jockstrap parties. And she talking about how two dudes figured out they got COVID because that's where they went. They went to a jockstrap party and they thought that's where they got COVID from. And I was thinking, oh, okay. Yes, it will be. Yeah, you could possibly get COVID at a jockstrap
party. I didn't have more questions just because the image and idea, the point was made and it was funny. But you're right. Does that mean all you do is wear jockstraps? There's obviously a lot of blowing going on, but yes, I don't know.
I was trying to figure it out. I was like, well, do you have some that are fake and some that are real? Is it a mixture? type of party happening here? I've never been to one. I don't think I've ever seen one in porn. So, you know, just so many questions.
This is so funny. I don't even remember this jockstrap moment.
It was two seconds, but it was talking about when I did the COVID test and I get upset at people bragging about their antibodies because really they fucked up. And then Melody said, however you say it, she said, I know these guys, and they'll be like, yeah, I just, it turns out I got the virus. And you're like, oh, bummer. Yeah, got it in Fire Island at the jockstrap party on Thursday, apparently.
No, I think she was joking.
No, she wasn't. But I don't know. No, okay. Her anger was real.
She was joking. She completely fooled me.
Yeah.
I am a sucker because I was thinking, because she was like, well, that was just too much information.
Yeah.
Like, that would be too much information. We could have ended this 2 words ago.
Yeah, to say you got it. Don't brag. I got it at a virus cock party.
Yes, that's where you got it. Just COVID and cocks, apparently. Yeah. That's what's happening in fitness place. I think that you should get a medal for staying at home. Y'all talk about staying at home.
Thank you.
Yeah, you should get a gold medal. Because apparently nobody gives a damn anymore. And when we go out around the city, people are acting like COVID just ain't out there. So I'm like, well, I'm doing good. I deserve a gold start in.
Tell her again. Tell him that she's doing good.
Yes, you are. You are actually doing good. You're doing great. You really are. Yes.
Reminds me. Okay. So when I was a kid, for some reason, there was this after school thing at the synagogue and it was like just a little youth program. And I happened to be there the night that it was my brother's grade meeting. I don't know why I was there. So I was very outside of the thing. So I was just sitting quiet and people were making a ruckus while the counselor was trying to get their attention. And she goes, and I'm like, please, I saw the look on her face and I was like, please don't say what you're about to say. And she goes, look at him, she's sitting nice. And I'm like, oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Now I belong. That's what I wanted from staying quiet, is to be pointed out as the biggest fucking dork on earth. And it just reminded me of that. I know that's not what you guys are doing, but it's like, yes, I'm doing it good. Yay, me.
And well, you're doing it good and well. And you need to appreciate it. And you don't got to defend assholes for no fucking reason. That's what's offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you.
100%. I think you should get a gold star because apparently nobody gives a damn. And I told
you. I'll take a gold star. Can it be dark chocolate on the inside?
Yes, it can be.
A little bit of nuts, any kind of nuts, smaller nuts.
Any way you want it.
I like it. Okay, I'm in. Gold star for me.
Yes, I am in for this. We talked, but y'all talked about Cuomo and Sherry Osborne. And that combination is a mess because Cuomo is an old man that don't know how to keep his hands to himself. Don't nobody want you. Don't nobody. I'm coming there.
What?
Perky? Don't nobody want you touching on me, old man.
Can you do that again? Yeah, hey, man.
Don't nobody want that old man. Homo out here grabbing ass and doing boob days and shit like that. Don't nobody want you. And then be like, how dare these women keep coming out talking about I'm touching titties. Yes, you did that, sir. You did this. He's a lot.
He is a lot,
and I don't know if he's gonna resign. I could see him keeping that job. Going, mm-mm.
Why would he resign? Why are people expecting people to resign?
Right, where are you gonna go? You have to be in politics, so you don't resign.
You know what, guys? You were right. I'm gonna go not have a job. I'm not resigning.
Fire me. Right, he's gonna keep that job, and about Sharon Osborne, she is a lot too, because she basically went on stage. But like this, if she would have answered the question simply, we could have went on to the next segment and moved on. What she could have said was like, that's my friend. Y'all have friends. Friends don't agree. We don't always say the same thing.
Piers Morgan being the friend, right?
Yes, Piers Morgan. And you could have moved on. Like, because it's called the fucking talk. It's the talk, the soup, the chew, all these shows.
Right.
Nobody gives a fuck about what y'all saying, and these people will move on.
I'm just trying to wash dishes over here. Yeah.
I'm just trying to wait for my doctor in the waiting room.
Right. Why are you guys acting like anyone gives a fuck?
I'm waiting on my oil to be changed. Nobody gives a goddamn. You right. know, and she turned
your candy. Right.
Right. And an hour show, she turned it into 45 minutes of her being defensive. And that's what the problem was. You could have gave a simple answer, a simple generic answer. But because
what was the question? I forget. I remember it was stupid, but
yeah, because basically
like her answer was stupid, but
oh, her answer was terrible.
What was the question?
The question was your friend, Pierce Morgan, because basically Sherry started off like this, Sherry Shepherd. She was like, basically, you know, Pierce Morgan is going online and he's been, you know, known as a racist. So people have perceived him being a racist and you are his friend.
And he's shitting on the royal family.
Right, he's shitting on the royal family. Like, what do you think about this? And her answer could have been, well, you know how you have friends. You don't always agree with your friends, his opinion. No, she doubled down because she went online basically and was defending him. And that was also a problem too. She went online defending him and, you know, was talking about the things he was saying was right and things like that. And it just caused this big uproar. And I think that she never expected people to get mad and angry at her over her opinion. And I think that where I know for me, because me and Roderick listened to it, and where I got mad was this: you have the right to get offensive, to be offended, you know, and get angry. But the problem I have is that she turned it around on Sherry, like Sherry was the problem for even asking the question. But the question was a valid question. And they had told her before they went on the air that we're going to talk to you about this. So it's not like she didn't know. She knew. But when they talked to her, all of a sudden, it was, they caught me off guard. I can't believe they asked these questions. And she wants you to educate her. And the thing that sent
me. That's weird. They caught you off guard on a talk show asking you to talk. That's good.
Your whole job.
But if you think about it, Sharon Osbourne having a show, why? You know what I mean? Like, obviously, because she is a personality. But that doesn't mean, like, she knows about every topic. Doesn't mean she's not ignorant on a lot of things. It's so funny. It's like you guys said, like, they threw you guys in a room. Just be grateful you have a show.
and go ahead.
I was just going to say, I saw a 5-minute thing of Pierce Morgan talking about Meghan Markle over the years. And it starts with him and Meghan are best friends because they met at some party and it's great. Then she got with Harry. Then now she's more secluded. They don't talk anymore. And he's like joking, but he's being serious. You can tell, like, I miss my friend and Harry ruined it. Then it goes to, you know what? She's unavailable to people and she's not the same Meghan and I don't like it. Then it gets to, she's always been a bitch. She's never fun to be around. Like, it really was. You think you lost your friend and you took her personally, and now you hate the both of them. It's obvious and weird.
These are adults, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. These are adults. These are grown people. And, you know, with Sharon, when she was talking on her show, I think the thing that really struck me is that she looked at her co-host, who at the beginning of her Sherry Shepherd at the beginning of her statement said, you are my friend. Like the very first thing she said was, you know, you're my friend, or I consider you a friend. She turns around and she looks at her and she tells her she shouldn't cry. If anybody should be crying, it's her, because obviously after the segment, emotions were high. You know what I'm saying? Like, people are all in their feelings and we come back on the air and you have the nerve to tell me that I can't feel the way that I want to feel because it will make you feel some type of way.
That's funny. Melody Kamali had a really good impersonation there. And I could tell she was nervous to do it because, you know, you're doing a shrill female voice, but that was Sharon Osbourne right on. I haven't heard her voice in a very long time. I'm like, yeah, I think I might've been able to guess that was her. That was pretty good.
It was spot on. And it was just, you could just hear as the conversation went up, her voice gets screechier and screechier and more erratic. And you was like, oh, this is really bothering her. And literally the show has not been back on the air since. I think it was off all last week. It was supposed to be like a 2 or 3 day thing. And now they're doing an investigation. So who knows if she's going to come back? Yes. It's like a whole big ass to do.
Oh my God.
Because you couldn't answer a simple ass question. Right.
Okay.
It doesn't make sense. And my last thing before we move on, I think all parents get in their parent instruction guide but to tell children, I give you something to cry for. Because I heard y'all talk about it. My friends, like a lot of people have said this. And I realized it goes across all racial lines. Like, I don't know if they'll be like, here's a book. When your kid cries, just tell them this. And this is what you do. And I don't know what is. I don't know who get this magic manual, but apparently all parents get it. Because when y'all said that, I was like, I've heard that phrase before. And
I think it's been trickled down. Like, I'm gonna turn this car around. Or
yes.
Just dumb shit that you say that you have given up when you said that. Because you're not turning the car around. Everyone knows you're not turning the car around. I'll give you shit to cry about. Like, what the fuck are you threatening me with? You lost your mind. Because growing up, you were like, this is stupid and I'm hearing it. And then you turned into that because you don't have the patience to find a different way to do it. Turning this car around is the dumbest thing you can say to your kids. Yes. I dare you to turn the car around because then you're not going where you want it to go. You think these kids care where you're going? They don't care. They might not even know where they're going. Is it their aunt's house, their uncle's house? Who gives a shit? You have to provide them with some shit once you get there. They'll get that at the house. They'll get that over there. It's you who wants to go. I'm going to turn this car around.
I'm in a kid's suit. I don't think we're turning the car around.
No, I don't think we're turning
it around. No.
That one and you got McDonald's money is the other good one that was thrown. You know I don't got McDonald's money. That's why I'm asking you. Right. You got McDonald's money. And then they get shocked when you go like, in fact, I do got McDonald's money. And you go through the drive-thru. All of a sudden the tables have turned. And then they're shocked and surprised.
We went to Burger Nosh, thank you very much, on Main Street.
Oh, snap now.
Yes, because it's kosher. No, it's kosher. Yeah, thank you.
Him to put in that the thing. I didn't even know they had kosher burger plate. Like, I'm oblivious. I'm sorry about my ignorance. I didn't know. Keith, what was the poll?
You didn't mean nothing. The poll was, is Karen a fucking bigot? She didn't even know.
The poll is, does Karen live in North Carolina?
Right. I think
yes, I do.
You just don't put cheese on the burger. It's not a big deal.
No, it has to be kosher meat.
Okay.
And then the entire place can't have any dairy in it. It has to be blessed by a rabbi. Mm. The meat has to be executed in a certain way. It has to follow kosher laws the whole time.
You know how they kill these? You know how they kill the cows? They say racist jokes to it.
And it dies of laughter.
Like, you can't believe it and dies, kills itself.
Falls out.
Oh, every rabbi I ever fucking knew. The poll was, have you made one of your parents cry? 17% say no.
Ooh.
They got to make a phone call. What? 17% of you never made your parents cry. What the
fuck? I guess they've never seen the parents cry over them.
That's the difference, yes.
Yeah, there is a difference.
All right.
I thought that was pretty high, made your parents cry. I thought that'd be low.
No, 83% made their parents cry.
Our next one should be, have you ever made your teacher cry?
I made them all cry.
I've never made a teacher cry.
Parent. Not one teacher?
You walk into the teacher's lounge, it's eight people just bawling.
Right.
But I've never seen a teacher cry. I teachers cry and shit like that, but if it did, I don't ever think I was the reason and why.
No, I don't think that you would be, but like the class in general, where you just kind of get thrown in unless you're, you know, stopping it somehow, which
like substitute teachers, people give them a hard time. You're like, the people just want to get paid.
I know. It's such a cruel system. Yes. I know. We didn't take those guys seriously, and that's sad.
Right. When you get older, you realize something's happening here. Something's not right.
I know. You're like, we didn't have to do any of that.
We didn't. When you get grown and you get an adult, you be like, they just want to work. You're a kid. You're like, boo, where's my math teacher? Boo.
Right. As if we really are dying to learn math. Or if they teach us math, we're like, you're not our math teacher, so we're not listening. It's like, I am a fucking professor in this. I just happened to be here today. And we're like, whatever. You don't count as a human.
Right, right. Oh. Teach you less than boo.
Yeah, like, shout out to substitute teachers.
Yes, I didn't come here for a comedy show. I'm not here, you know, to perform. Kids, they don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. They don't. KATG,
mm-hmm.
episode 3386. The History of Stand-Up with Wayne. I know, I'll turn it up anyway. Wayne Fetterman.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah. Wayne Fetterman. We had met him for the first time. He put us in his book about stand-up and comedy. We're in it.
This one was funny, though, because for this episode, I felt like he was trying to feel y'all out. Like, he didn't really know. It's like, should I jump in? Should I not jump in? Are they joking? Are they not? You at the end, you could tell he kind of relaxed a little bit more. But at the beginning, I was like, oh, he's not used to the vibe of the show. So he's throwing stuff, trying to say, is this going to work? Is that going to work? Is this going to get him, you know?
Yeah, maybe he knew he was like coming to play jump rope, but we played double dutch. Yeah. Maybe it's that. Because I think like, you know, the forums and Reddit was saying this, like he fit right in and he got the sense of humor and stuff. But yeah, I did. It's funny that you picked up on that. Some things I think, you know, like, I don't know if it was Keith or me, we said something extra jokey on the edge of fucked up and he gave pause and then he came back. So it wasn't like we didn't ever really lose him, but he was like, it was almost like, should I be offended or is that fucked up? And then he was like, no, this is Keith and the girl. They're joking.
Yeah. It's like, how should I respond? What's the proper response type of.
Yeah. And then I always think like with that pause, he came back with a real response from himself. He didn't placate or play ball just to kind of play. He really was like, oh, okay, that's where we are. Like, here's me at that place. So I thought that was pretty cool. Did you catch that, Keith?
Yeah. Yeah, I get you 100%. Yep.
Yeah. I thought it was very, very genuine and very, very play-alongy, very fun, because you knew he wasn't just talking nonsense. Like, he was thought out enough and like funny and it was fun and so sweet. So sweet.
Yes, it was. In this particular episode, we talked about Keith's negative COVID test. Keith, how did you feel taking like the test? Because the way you sounded, the one to go up your nose, we didn't have to. I've never been tested for, but I've heard that that can be.
It's the weird. It's the weirdest. It's the fucking weirdest. Yeah, you feel like, you know, a million inches further, you're dead. It's very strange and uncomfortable. He doesn't tell you what's going to happen. I've heard about that it goes up, but again, he did one nostril just normal. And I'm like, okay, so that's not too bad. Then it's in the other nostril and he goes, all right, hold on, we're going to go back now and scoop. I mean, obviously he knows how to talk to people, but man, it was a fucking surprise and it was rough.
It sounded like you did have a very gentle person where like he is sort of walking you without letting you get ahead of it. Like, just a little squeeze and we're done.
None's going to happen. You're going to hate this. And done. And I'm crying. I'm like, you know. Like, you know, you're just like, whoa.
Well, because do you know that your nostrils are attached to your tear ducts in a way?
I've seen a mirror, I assume. It's all there.
That's true. Okay. But if you pull a hair from like even just under your nostril or your actual nostril, that's the way to make you tear. You will automatically, most likely, tear.
And I'm going to say something real stupid. And I'm going to admit this before I say it. Mm-hmm. Y'all know y'all have the ear, nose, and throat people, right? Mm-hmm. Like, all that shit is connected. When I would go to the doctor, they have to clean my ears. They would use this thing, and they would go down in my ears, and it felt like they were going down my throat. And I was like, the fuck is this sensation? Like, I don't understand. But I'm looking at her like, if you're in my ears, why do I feel this going down my throat? Then I thought about it. I was like, no shit, Karen. They don't call it the nose, ear, throat doctor for nothing.
You know what, though? I wouldn't have thought of that. And that makes sense to like, it, because, yeah, I never thought of that.
Yeah, and it goes like, they're still in your ears, but just the sensation just feels like it's going down your throat. And I kept saying, what is happening here? I was like, are you still in my ears?
Yeah, like, that's weird, too, because you don't burp out your ear by accident.
Right. No, you don't.
I never had bad ear, you know what I mean? But I needed mouthwash before.
Don't burp out your ears, the greatest.
That would be interesting.
You know what? There was a period where I did have ear problems and I had like weird shit in my ear, and maybe that's like old food or something.
It's just a bad booger you can't reach.
It did look like that, to be honest.
This is the most disgusting segment ever.
In this episode, too, we talk about book beef. That has to be the softest beef ever. What is our beef? Words? Because y'all were talking about how one person wrote a book.
Oh, and self-help beefs. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
One person writing a book. I was like, are we going to cut each other with words? This is the softest beef ever.
Right.
And it was. And even in Dan Harris's book where he says he's not really into Eckhart Tolle, it was, hey, this isn't really my thing. I noticed that, like, he sort of talked about, without saying the word vibe, he thought the guy was genuine and really living that lifestyle, but it just didn't like sync up with him. Now the other guy, what's the other guy's name? Deepak Chopra. He had a couple more words for him.
What'd he say? What'd he say?
Well, he noticed, and I think I saw this conference, there was a panel where, Deepak is supposed to be this like listening and peaceful and whatever, but he would seem to slump in his chair when someone else was talking and just kind of like nearly roll his eyes. Yeah. And then when he spoke, he sat up and like, you know, he didn't have that I'm listening and taking it in. And I think like you expect that from right. a person on that kind of platform. And I think he's right.
Deepak wrote me once on Twitter. I don't know. I forget. He tweeted out something innocuous and stupid. And I tweeted some joke on it. And then whatever his comment back was supposed to be a joke at my expense, but it really was lame and stupid. I don't know, but it was like, so you think with your ass? This is something like, and I'm like, Deepak just wrote God. Me.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
That's a big deal. Holy shit.
I was like, you idiot. You're dumb.
And I know if you're saying it was a dumb joke, it's one of those where like if you don't know Keith's tone, he's just saying some fucked up shit.
Right.
So it's like that's who and for me, I'm like, oh, Deepak shouldn't respond to Keith Malley spitting into the wind.
Right.
That is so stupid. And that just, you know, it speaks to what Dan Harris was saying is like that's all. It's ego-based and ridiculous. And why are you participating in this?
Right.
Interesting that you seem to be such an even-keel person and selling that, but this is nonsense.
Right. So you think with your ass, and then I saw people under it was like, good one, Deepak. I'm like, no, it wasn't. That's not your leader, is it? Because that was not a good one. That was lame. That's sad. I don't read his book, so all I know is now he's lame.
In all fairness, I haven't read his book.
What if life is a simulation? What if somebody's like point clicking on us and keeping us in the house and everybody else is taking their characters and just going outside and just doing shit?
Right. It's just funny. My master is controlling me in the game and he's making me play Destiny the game. You know, it's pretty layered to this guy's games.
Well, there is that thought where it really is only your life. So right now it's just me. As soon as this shuts down, I don't see you anymore. You guys disappear totally, you know, like you don't have a life. And then you come back and all of that is like put into you like, oh, here's what I did so I can have this game with Hemda.
Are we alive?
No, that's the thing. You're just a simulated thing for my life.
So yep. Somebody simulated Karen to mispronounce every person's name. Just because it's
for
like
my
a
joy.
Funny little bonus program.
Or maybe we're in Keith's life. Maybe it's for Keith's joy. I don't know. But there's all these theories. And at the end of the day, it doesn't fucking matter because we're still
still got to pay fake taxes, right?
Exactly.
The fake bills and all that.
Right.
Stuff.
It's weird that every programmer wanted to add taxes to their people.
How did you? State and federal. How do you know that I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina?
Are you guys doing malpractice shit with your people too? Yeah, it's fun as fuck. You took out the wrong heart valve.
Yes. So for me, I think if life is a simulation, my person needs to get better control. I want to be rich. Mm-hmm. Get it together. Whoever simulate me, get your shit together.
Yeah, when I play Destiny, I don't want to see him lose.
Right.
You know.
But that's not what the simulation is doing. It's putting.
Yes. <Doesn't matter. laughs> I didn't mean to insult the simulation. Yeah. Or is that my program?
It doesn't matter. Do whatever you want. Like, really, you know, you want to be rich, Karen? Go ahead.
Oh, shit, they long key fall.
Hey, guys.
Your simulation guy has a really good sense of humor.
Right. He's fucking with Deepak's in my simulation. Jesus.
For me, only like my Twitter fame claim is the Chocolate Rain guy started following me.
Nice.
And I was like, hell yeah.
Chocolate rain. Something feels the pain. Chocolate rain.
He's very funny, though.
Yeah, he is.
Very funny. I mean, yeah. Let him know on Twitter that we said he's very funny and that you should follow him.
That's a good thing. Y'all, I got to go look that up. And the last thing I want to talk about, I love Hamda's recaps of old movies.
Yes.
Because whenever she recaps something, it's like it's gonna be like 15 to 20 years old, so everybody's gonna be done seeing it, but it's new to you, and that's all that matters. Is it? It's new. It's new. It's new shit to you. New shit. And I'm like, yes, let's go. So I don't care what it is. I love your recap. You just be so excited and just wrapped into it. And then, particularly if it's something that I know and love, I go down memory lane with her. So I just want you to know, just keep recapping shit that's 15 to 20 years old. I am here for it.
Yes. Thank you so much, Karen. That makes me feel really good because it's gonna be where I am, so I'm glad you like it.
I love it, and I'm always here for it, because I was like, at least she has seen something, so I'm here for that. I mean in a bad way, but no. Like, she's seen something, yay.
thank you very much.
You're welcome. Key, what was the poll?
Her simulation provider, by the way, didn't add a lot into entertainment, you know what I mean? Yeah,
it didn't, and I thank it for it.
Taxi Driver was the poll, because that was the movie Hemda saw, and your choices were great, terrible, okay, or never saw it. Almost 50% of the audience didn't see it.
Interesting.
And then it's pretty tied from there.
Should that be the movie for KTG Week? Oh, there's so many ideas.
I don't know, because people think like, oh, it's a classic. Should I be paying attention? Do they want to hear jokes? Other than that, I just found it boring. And then what? Jodie Foster, too young. I don't know. I don't know what we would say necessarily.
I hear you on that because, yeah, I just thought, I think my first thought was there's so much time to speak during this movie.
Right. plenty.
But yeah, we could find another one. By the way, we'll take requests. Let it be on Netflix, because I think that's the easiest to watch internationally, because people could tune into the American version of it. So yeah, we'll be watching it together. So if you have like a Netflix idea for us to comment during KTG Week, tickets will be up later this week.
21% of people said it was great, 16% terrible, 16% said okay, and then like I said, almost 50% never saw it.
That's not good odds.
Right.
It's not good at all.
No. Not for a classic.
No, I mean, it is from 1976.
Whatever. The Casablanca was before that. That's who gives a fuck?
I never saw that. But yeah, I get it.
It's brilliant. Casablanca is perfect.
I've heard about it because it's like everybody talks about it, but I've never seen it. I'm going to have to go.
Casablanca is perfect.
Yes.
Fuck. I might have to see that. I saw a movie that you really loved and I didn't like it. Recently.
What's that? I doubt it.
The Devil All the Time.
Oh, I like that, yeah. Well, you're not from... Well, I said I think it's where I was born, I don't know, but we weren't hill people necessarily, but I do love movies about the poor hicks, and maybe that's why I loved it.
I understand. Like, they were not afraid to do major things in the plot, which right. I appreciate, but the lapse between it was very slow for me.
How about the serial killer couple?
Yeah, that was pretty fucking sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it tied up well at the end. I understand, like, how it's a good movie, but it moved a little slow for me.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Casablanca's better.
Isn't Casablanca in color and black and white?
I know black and white, so I'm not sure. But, you know, it's understood to be a love story, I think. I think it's a spy movie. And A+.
Okay, don't tell me anything else. Thank you.
He dies.
Okay, thanks. I don't know who dies, and I don't know who's in here, and I don't know if you're kidding, so I don't care.
The bonus episode, or the bonus thing I'm going to talk about is silent trailers.
Yeah! This thing is so much fun, okay? I know that I host it, but I look forward to it all the time. That was our, I think, 10th one. Next month is going to be the one-year anniversary because we started this during the beginning of COVID for KTG Week, and it has been the greatest. It's so much fun. Everyone's interacting. We meet in the chat after. Ugh, what were you saying, Karen?
No problem, because it is so much fun. If you are listening to the sound of my voice, that already means that you can get a ticket for free. Why don't you use your ticket? It is so worth it. It was so much fun. The very first thing I'm going to say is that Hemda, I loved your top. I got in. I was like, oh my gosh, I love her black top. Maybe that's the stuff I look for. But I was like, oh my gosh, her top is so cute.
I did that for you. In fact, I wear this shit all the time for silent trailers. I'm getting a new top every time. You will not see a repeat. Yeah, it's so fun. Okay.
And I must say, Keith, I love your jacket. You look like a circus ringmaster.
Thank you. It was only because Henda had her blouse, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I wasn't thinking. During mic check, I'm like, I got to step up my game.
I like the stripes. I was here for it.
Thank you.
And I did like the very, very coming out the gate, 8 seconds. Keith was swinging hard. Like, I was like, this is going to be good. Come on, you know, like let's where we go from here.
I saw people's faces, especially Michael Ian's Black's during that. And I thought he was like, where the fuck is this bullshit? This is a game, and like, you fuck with the guests, like.
Yeah, I saw that right away. I was like, "Oh no, we sort of had that response in other shows of silent trailers," and I always feel kind of bad because comedians are put that in that situation. It's like, "Oh, we're gonna have a fun game, gotcha, bitch! Oh, you thought we would have a fun game? Here's this thing where like Keith is just gonna say the things you're not gonna play. You're gonna have to come up with shit to say based on this garbage." And no, it's nice to see the turnaround after.
Yes, I think once people understand that it's just Hemda's language, if that makes sense, and other people begin to pick up on her language, and it was just so much fun. And then Petey was hilarious because Petey was asking Keith, was he on the spectrum? And then, you know, Mira was shooting shots at her team. Right. And, you know, then Mira's in the corner with her cat jumping in the background. And, you know. It was so, Petey almost died. You almost had your first death.
Mm-hmm, that's true. Yeah, he was. He kept making jokes as he's choking on gum, but as the ultimate comedian, he's got to keep going as he's dying.
Yes. And it was hilarious because he would not turn his mic off.
Right.
It was the funniest shit ever.
He's like, I'm here. Why am I here if I'm going to turn off a microphone sometimes?
He's like, y'all came for the jokes, so you're gonna get the jokes. Everybody gonna get all the jokes. That's why I came. It was so much fun, just the way everybody interacted with each other. And another shout out to Hemda. You referenced one of my favorite shows, Rick and Morty.
Mm-hmm.
Loves it.
Yes,
love it.
Yes, me and my husband do too. We have watched every single season, and we rewatch it anytime it comes on. I have to stop what the fuck I'm doing. It's the most ridiculous, over the top cartoon ever, and I love it.
So good. It's so good. The husband in it, how he gets ridiculed because he's such a fucking moron. Like, Gary, in every situation, there's a new way to call him a moron. It's so good. And I'm normally not into that. Like, it's just like you're just picking on some idiot. And I'm like, nah, this makes sense. It's so good.
I was like, Yay! Because we got Rick and Morty shirts. We got Rick and Morty magnets. We got posters. Like, we really love Rick and Morty. Like that is my jam.
Before I was watching this show, do you know Wendy Starr? She's a listener. She's interned for a minute. Anyway, she made Danny a Mr. Meeksy. I always get this wrong.
Meeksy.
Yeah. Made it for him. And I saw his response. I'm like, this must be something cool and some like personal thing. And then when I saw the show, I'm like, I made him one. That's so good. And I had the reaction late. And I'm like, that is such a cool gift. Oh my God. So cool. So cool.
Yes, that is really, and I cannot wait for the new season of that to come back.
They're making another one?
Yes.
All right.
I don't know when, because you know, they take long breaks on that show.
That's fine. Put your brain away for a little while. That's a lot to do. Oh, amazing.
Yes, so I'm excited about that. And something I realized about this show, as the show went on, and as, you know, Keith would win, he would lose around. As he lost around, he had less and less clothes. I was like, this is not a good sign.
Yeah.
You know, you went from the jacket, you
tie.
Know, this, the tie. Yeah. It just kept going down. And
gets heated.
Yeah, it's getting sweaty.
Yes, and I'm sorry to announce for those of you who didn't watch it, Keith did lose. But, you know, we think we lost him in the room because all of a sudden I heard his voice, but I didn't see his picture. I don't know if he zoomed, walked out the room.
Yep. He's like, I'm not here anymore. Bloop.
Danny was so tight and it was so close and it was so much fun. We laughed. Me and Roger was laughing the whole entire time. I'm telling you guys, if you are listening to the sound of my voice, you are VIP and you are literally missing out. It's so much fun. And
you will have tickets as VIPs to all of KATG Week for free. So that's in your dashboard.
I'm cheering too because I'm like, I get some free tickets too.
Yeah.
So,
and next, Keith, I'm going to reveal one of the people on next time's styling trailer.
Okay.
I'm sorry we didn't talk about this ahead of time.
All right.
Gilbert Gottfried is going to be one of the contestants on the next silent trailers.
That should be really fun. Yep. That should be a blast.
Right? Oh my God, I can't. I can't even.
That should be fun. I cannot wait. I'm excited. Excited about KATG Week. I'm just excited right now. And like I said, silent trailers was so much fun. And you guys deserve all the praise to be written in all the articles. You know, because y'all do a lot of work, like behind the scenes work, even though I know you make it fun. It is a lot of work to get that done and to get everything together and to organize all these people and to get people to show up and to get people to do all this stuff and behind the scenes. But you make it look so easy.
That's true. And I do have to shout out to Xerxes here. I know a lot of people saw it coming, but highly notable. It's just making it more organized, more streamlined, more tech savvy, more just... I'm much more able to do the job on silent trailers because he's got me behind the scenes and feels really good.
Yay.
Yeah, totally. Oh, and by the way, also the contestants, please get in touch on social media. Say that you saw them on silent trailers and heard on Keith and the girl so that we can keep having fun with these people. You know, like these people need the gratification. You know, all it takes is to click like on something that has our name on it with their name, or you can say, hey, saw you on at Keith and the Girls silent trailers, and then they know their life is worthwhile. Okay. Mm-hmm. Please boost their simulation so that
yes, their life simulation. Yes.
That's right. That's right.
More simulation points. That's why we're all here, for more simulation life points. If nobody has anything else, I'm going to wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of Last Week on Keith and the Girl. I'm your host, Karen. I'm going to be like, I'm out. KeithandTheGirl.com.
Listen to the Black Guy Who Tips. Goodbye.